Moncrief on News Talk.
Barbara and Declan joins us once again for your weekly dose of wisdom. Good afternoon to you both.
How's it going?
Yes, that's us. Yeah. Weekly dose.
Okay, weekly dose.
Speak for yourself.
I'm really looking forward to the first. Certainly. Oh, yeah, the first two, certainly. Right, number one question is this. I discovered my wife has a secret bank account that she's been saving into for the last 11 years of our marriage. She kept it secret all along. We've a joint account that we pay all the bills out of and each have our own account that we get paid into, etc. Absolutely, have your own money, do your own thing, but don't hide it. I only found out about it because she left a statement out in error and I saw there was 42 grand in it. This is only the start of it. We've been scrimping and saving, or so I thought, for the house of our dreams. We bought a two-bed terraced house at the height of the Celtic Tiger and have been paying dearly for it ever since. We have always wanted to move to a bigger house in a better area, and over the years we have made so many sacrifices, missed important occasions because we were working towards our goal. Not now, I see she's been holding back on me and building up her escape fund or whatever. I'm furious. She has her tail between her legs about it all, but says that the money won't be touched. I can't get over the selfishness of it all. We're either in this together or we're not. It's like she's a different person to me now. She had running away money, Barbara.
And I know what everybody's going to think, that I'm going to go, so what? She's entitled to. I think that money within a relationship, and particularly a marriage, you know, a committed long-term relationship, is fascinating because it is full of contradictions. Mm. Running away money, I can understand why running away money was a necessity for women, you know, up until relatively recently. And perhaps it's still a necessity for some women who are in a dangerous situation or, you know, some kind of dysfunctional situation. And it wasn't that long ago. I mean, I remember growing up, my mother getting the housekeeping money every week from my dad. And if she wanted something extra, you know, I mean, he wasn't a mean man, but she did have to ask for it. And there was never an issue, but even having to ask for it, I remember thinking that is terrible. But if you are, if you have pledged your troth to somebody else and have decided you're in it for the long haul and you're paying a mortgage together and you've children together and you're a team, then in my book, everything should be transparent and should be open and should be shared. And actually, that might sound as if it's kind of in some way anti-feminist, but I don't think it is. Because when Paul and I got together, we both were more or less earning the same. Money went into joint accounts. Bills were paid out of joint accounts. We both took whatever we needed out of the joint account. And that was, everything was fine. Now, we did have a hiccup known as the Saab incident.
I wonder who bought the Saab.
Yeah. Which nearly derailed the whole thing. But we got over that. Just in case anybody thinks I have the perfect marriage. We got over that. But when we decided that one of us would stay at home, and it was me, to look after the kids, which turned into a decade at home, I never had an issue about, I mean, we had an issue about money that we didn't earn enough of, but I never had an issue about getting access to money because it was still the joint accounts. Okay, my money wasn't going in any longer because I wasn't earning money. My worth was coming in a different way. But I never felt the need to ask or seek clearance about anything, and I never felt in any way disenfranchised because I didn't have money. So therefore, I honestly believe that if you have committed to somebody else, you should be open and transparent about your money. And therefore, I think this woman is wrong. I think hiding away money from your partner, whether you're male or female, is not a healthy thing to do in a healthy relationship, unless you're planning on actually running away. You have reason for that, which is fine. But I don't think that's the case here. And I do still hear, because I know from talking to other women, that a lot of women still think it's OK. You know, I have an account and I do put a bit of money in there that, you know, he doesn't know about, or, you know, I don't talk about or whatever. I actually don't think I would be as I was when I discovered my husband had a Saab fund. I was also, and it possibly colours my reaction to this, but I felt as this man does, you feel kind of as if somebody's taken you as a bit of an idiot, and it's a breach of trust. So I think she's wrong and I think he's right.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose what you're talking about is a kind of a form of financial infidelity, that it's a kind of a it's a kind of a thing where you know we're in this together.
Yes.
I mean, that cliche thing just is horrible language, but has a point. I think specifically in this relationship, though, I'm confused as to what this woman is actually doing with that money. I mean, I'm wondering what is going on in the mechanics of their relationship, where she has the money growing to, that's 40 grand. That's a lot of kind
of, it's a lot of saving. It's 80 grand earned,
money,
yeah,
or whatever it is. She's planning on running away. She wants to go away, far away. And maybe, you know, maybe that's what actually is going on. Like, is it possible that she is actually collecting her
exit
fund?
I don't know, because I think it's still, because I hear women talking and they still think that that's okay. Mm. Do you know? And I can understand why they think that's okay.
But a lot of women were kind of, and I'm wondering, is this kind of almost a cultural thing? Told it by their mothers.
Yes, exactly that.
And it's almost bred into.
Never be dependent on a man for your money. Always earn your, always have your own money.
And there are, you know, I suppose in you, well, as you were talking, I kind of shifted my perspective, because initially I was going to say, you know, if you're in a relationship and you're both contributing in a way towards the same end goal, it's okay that you have a little left over for yourself beyond the contribution to keep that going. That's what I was thinking. But then you presented, obviously, the situation where you've got stay-at-home parents. That's going to create a different thing going on. And then there's that kind of, well, are we all in this together or are we not?
Yes, exactly. And I think so much of society is predicated on the fact that in a family, you've got two partners who are earning money. Mm-hmm. Not all partnerships, not in all partnerships do both partners earn money. Sometimes somebody is bringing something completely different to the table that in actual fact is just as valuable. When I stayed at home and I did all the domestics and I looked after the kids when they were young, it enabled him, who's self-employed, to work longer hours. But he couldn't have done that if I wasn't doing free childcare, free housework, free all the rest of it. And that's quite valuable. And of course, again, we live in a society where that kind of work isn't valued. There's no value put on people. And it's normally women who stay at home and who do the double shift and who, you know, well, no, they do the double shift if they're working. But if they stay at home and they're looking after kids and they're doing a lot of the housework, there's no value put on that. And maybe if there was value put on that, women wouldn't feel the need to have squirreling away money.
It's about power as well, though, isn't
yes.
it? It's like this woman now but, has.
And in this situation, like, they did have a joint account for the bills and their own respective accounts.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like he wasn't... A lot of people are texting saying maybe he was an awful bully, but she had her own money anyway.
Yeah.
This is even more own
this
money.
This is a secret account.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You know, that
it's
is the problem.
Ansbacher account.
It is, yeah. This is Ansbacher. One texter says, so what if it's 42K or a tenner or 100? She worked hard for it. She can do what she likes with the money. She's still meeting the bills and all the rest. It's none of his business.
No, that's but it is his business.
So that's what what I was actually initially thinking. I'm thinking, well, you know... In another instance, they could enter the relationship where he had a whole pile of millions in his bank account and they could decide that he's going to have some kind of prenuptial agreement because he's retaining all his assets.
Yeah.
And people do that all the time for various reasons. Not least of all is that it does ensure a sort of a level playing ground for the relationship to advance. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, but the key is transparency. If she wants to squirrel
hiding,
away 45 grand, okay, fine. But like, what does it say about her relationship if she feels she can't tell him that?
Yeah.
And he's found it out by accident and he's very hurt. And I totally get that.
She's saying that the money isn't going to be touched for our shared dreams, which is kind of like, and yet she's not saying that, oh, I'm saving up for plastic surgery or something.
It's like a Botox fund for later
or
in life.
Or
it's actually for his
fitness. Sometimes you can't let things go.
I'm not bitter. I'm honestly not bitter.
Okay, so like, there's a lot of like, this is grounds for divorce type text coming in front of me. So
it's not grounds for divorce because I honestly, you know, to kind of defend her a little bit, I do think there's a cultural element here that women have been told for years, have your own money, you know, it's a safety net, yada, yada. So I do think a lot of women do, not a lot of women, but I do think there are women who do this without really fully thinking it through.
Yeah.
But I can understand from his perspective how he feels very let down. And I think he's right to feel let down.
I would wonder whether or not there's two things going on in my head. One is that he's losing the head and he is going like, tell me what's going on. This is outrageous. If he pushes that nuclear button, maybe that's what was going to happen anyway. Maybe that she is actually saving up for an escape.
Then he might
fund.
As well find out sooner rather than later.
That's true. But the other point is that there's a whole pile of cash. Like, what is she going to do with that money? I would just want to know, what's your plan with that money?
Maybe she's going to buy him a nice present. Maybe she's going to buy him a Saab.
A Saab.
Yeah, that's
That'd
what it is.
A big Saab now for 42 grand. around.
Right, next question. This is very opposite, given that today's the day where everybody got 600 points in the Leaving Cert. So congratulations to you all.
Absolutely.
My son took the year out when he finished school last year, and his plan was to start his college course this September. The year was a bit of a waste for him, but I made my bed with it by saying he's got it out of his system, so he can only be onwards and upwards. However, the last 5 months have made him more dependent on me and his dad more than ever. I'll be honest, I'm not happy about it, mainly because I want my house back and my life to start again. He is the last of the kids to go, and he was to live on campus, but obviously that has fallen to the wayside now. Unlike me, my husband is delighted. He gets on best with our youngest so they can continue their little loving with their pizza and movie nights and watching golf and drinking beer all day. They don't respect the house. One eggs on the other, and I'm left to be the adult in the house. I thought once my son left, then my husband and I could rekindle our relationship and start thinking about the future. We've reared four kids. I want my life back. I feel I deserve it. I guess I was wrong. I'm so crestfallen at the minute. I can't kick my son out, nor would I. But when do I get to think about me again? I wish my husband saw it that way. And now, because of what's happened today, the points for whatever he planned to do have gone up and he mightn't get it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure that there's I'm a the lot best here to talk about this, because I don't have any grown up kids who've just done their Leaving Cert. My first instinct when I read it was, oh, being a parent is hard. Then the second thing I thought was that she's just jealous of her husband and the son having a really good relationship that's happening in the space. So she's like the third wheel in her own domestic scenarios. Of course, it's only natural that she just want that scenario, that particular dynamic to stop. Yeah. And, you know, the kids going off to college was the ideal way for her to retain some kind of control or power inside that in the house. But yeah, I kind of go, at the same time, I think parenting has changed than when I was a kid. People are staying in their parental homes for longer for reasons that are, it's not just about a pandemic, it's about the economy out there, and it's likely that a lot of kids growing up won't be able to afford houses in the places where we could buy them when we were younger, and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, for her to imagine that it's 21, get out of the house, you know, kind of thing is a bit, sure, it's a bit delusional, I suppose. I do think it's a bit delusional. But it is, because it's like the world is different. And I think, look, from the point of view, I would say, look, if the husband is having a good old time with the son, I think that's great. It's lovely. Well done. Have a great time. If she's being left out, she needs to address that in some way. I think if the kid living under the roof is a financial drain, well then, you know, part of your parenting is developing that whole cog of like self-reliance. And if you haven't done your job yet, your job's not done yet. Barbara, over to you.
There's so much in this letter. There's so much in this letter. Like, the first thing that I want to comment on is the fact that she has reared four kids. They have reared four kids, and she says she wants her life back. I think this is a huge issue, especially for women.
Yeah.
That you do get to the stage where you have done all the heavy lifting, you've done all the hard work. And then, as you correctly pointed out, your kids go into this kind of stall situation where they're kind of, you know, orbiting
circling
around.
Circling the runway. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. But can't actually lift off. And that is very frustrating, because I do think we're, as parents, are getting older, and you're thinking, hang on a minute, you know, the window of me having the opportunity to pursue things I've dreamt about all my life is getting smaller because of the kids going around in circles. So I do think that's a huge issue. And I think that's a really important topic. But park that for a minute. I think the problem here is that, number one, if one of my kids, and I'm not holding myself as a paragon of parenting, because I'm absolutely not. But I do think that the first mistake was made in allowing the son to defer college for a year and sit in his ass. You know, if you wanted to, like one of mine did that, deferred college for a year, but was told, OK, that's fine, but you get a job. Do you know, if you're not going to go to college, you get out and work, because you finished school now. Mm. So, you know, you go out and work and bring in money for the year, and then you can, you know, do your college course, and that's fine. So I think probably that wasn't the best idea, to let him kind of whatever it was he was meant to be doing for the year if he wasn't working. And I think from this, he wasn't. Second thing is that the dad, I mean, it's great, as you say, that he gets on well with the son and they're sitting around drinking beer and watching movies and eating pizza.
But I think that's an exaggeration. I think that she is just saying, oh, there you are with your pizza and your,
do you know,
you know
what? No, I don't think the husband or the father here is not doing him any favours either, because, that isn't what the world is about, sitting at home all day, indulging yourself with your dad. That's all very nice on the weekend. But like, I understand why she's frustrated by that. And I think her problem really is with her husband as much as with her son.
Yeah,
and I
think she needs five children, not four.
Exactly. And I think the one she needs to talk to first is the husband.
Of course, yes.
And, say to him, listen, Fred, you're not doing Johnny here any favours by this kind of lifestyle you've cultivated.
The dad's getting something out of it. The reason why it's in this kind of lot is because he's got the buddy.
And also, I think the current climate with coronavirus, and I don't know what is the dad's situation is vis-a-vis work, but I mean, a lot of people are working from home or maybe not working at all. And there's a slight feeling, if you're okay financially, that we're all kind of have an excuse to be on our holidays. And I think that's probably feeding into this as well. But I think the dad needs a kick up the bottom, and I think then the son needs a bit of a reality check. And unfortunately, I think what you said, Sean, is very true, is that he now may have a bigger problem with the CAO points coming out, and the course that perhaps he was hoping to do may now be moving
but
beyond.
But do you not think that there's a certain, regardless of whether or not Johnny gets to do business in international languages or whatever it is in wherever, that his life path, regardless of what barriers come in his way, which some of which will be outside of his control, and some of them would just be down to his bad choices, he's still going to have like a course that mightn't be as convenient for the parents as they would like. It would be ideal if 18, well done, you did your leaving, and now you're off to college to study law and you're set for life. That doesn't happen for everybody. It's more difficult for that to happen
but
to
you. For a decreasing amount of people. Well, actually, I think it's a good point, but perhaps because there may have been a path that mommy and daddy wanted the young fella to take, and he so he's deferred it for a year because he's trying to avoid it. And maybe in there there's some idea he has of what he wants to do with his life, but he may have no idea what he wants, and that's the scariest part.
It is,
I think.
I still don't know what I want to do with my life.
Neither do I. But that comes back to that.
That's why we're here. So yeah, let that be a lesson to you. If you let your children go to waste like that, they'll end up like Barbara Scully and Declan Buckley. Thank you both very much. You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. We'll take a break back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.